We shall go back to the battlefield of Kurukshetra, where Arjuna is trying to understand whether he should practice buddhi yoga, the yoga of intelligence, or fight. And the first section explained how the soul is active. Therefore, to be inactive, to attempt to be inactive for a person is so difficult. And unless one is practically able to be active on the spiritual platform, if one has material desires, his material, physical inactivity will cause him, even though he's attempting to take deeply to the spiritual path, his material desires and his inactivity will cause him to fall down and become greatly degraded. So better, Krishna says, to engage the active organs, the body, in Krishna's service, even if it means making gradual advancement. And that, through that karma, one will come to the platform of jnana. And that platform of jnana is the platform in which is born of the mode of goodness. The platform in which we know that we're not our body. We know that we're souls. And therefore, naturally, when we're on that platform of jnana, purified in goodness, naturally we're detached from everything in the material world. Naturally, we don't have desire for sense enjoyment. It's not a matter of restraining oneself, but if one actually realizes that he's a soul and has that experience, he understands he has nothing to do with the material world. He wants to keep away from material sense gratification. He doesn't want to contaminate himself and have to undergo unnaturally the cycle of birth and death, and birth and death, such suffering. Old age, such suffering, because the soul is active, it has desires. But when one's body is old, one has the same desires that one has when one's young. One wants to eat, one wants to play, one wants to enjoy, one wants to run, one wants to enjoy with his friends, etc., etc., etc. But the body has no capacity to enjoy. But the desires are all there. One's teeth are falling out, one's tongue doesn't work, one's eyes become weak, one can't digest. But the desires to eat and enjoy are there. You can't hear properly, your knees don't work, your ankles don't work. But still all the desires are there. So how frustrating is that? So therefore, the person who has knowledge understands how unnatural it is for the embodied soul, the henozmin, for the embodied soul, how unnatural it is his position as it changes from komanam, jovanam, jara, from boyhood to youth to old age, and how painful it is. How much suffering is there? So he doesn't want to engage in sense gratification or fruit of activities because of his knowledge. His knowledge is like light. And therefore he can see reality, and therefore he doesn't want to get entangled in illusion any further. And in addition, he's experiencing the higher taste. So Krishna recommends, therefore, because the soul is active, he recommends that one should perform one's duties, be active, but one should not be attached to any fruit that comes from the work. One shouldn't be attached to doing his duty to get anything. One should just be dutiful. And this concept of duty, just acting because it is your duty, this concept is it is completely dissipating in this world today. No one has any concept of duty. Everything, if there isn't any direct pleasure involved, no one wants to take part anymore. This is Kali Yuga. As people become more and more selfish, more and more ignorant, centered only around their pleasure, marriage. Soon as the pleasure between husband and wife, the physical pleasure, isn't anymore, immediately divorce in Kali Yuga. Immediately. Because the concept of duty, that we are married, we are meant to stay together in happiness, distress, sickness, health, poverty, wealth. We stay together, this is our duty. So people don't go into marriage or doing anything is a question of duty. They won't take care of their family members, the parents don't want to take care of the children, so they kill the children. Literally, killing the children. And the children also will have their, will also soon, at least they put the parents far away, they don't want to take care of them anymore. No concept of duty. Why they put the parents away? Why do they kill the children? Why do the husband and wife separate? Why does no one do their work? Just because it's their job, therefore we should do it nicely. Why? Because that type of mentality interferes, that dutiful mentality interferes with my immediate sense pleasure, and therefore all I care about is my immediate sense pleasure. So wife, find yourself another husband. Husband, find yourself another wife. Kill the child. Cheat at work. Steal this. Do this. Who cares about anything except me? Animal life. The mode of ignorance. So at least Krishna is saying, you should work. This is what Krishna is recommending. Dutifully work. Detach from the fruit of one's work and ultimately, and give that to Krishna. Work for Krishna and give your fruit of your work to Him, because you must be active. Then in the next section, Krishna explained what to do if one has material desires and desires to enjoy the fruit of one's work. But at least one should follow the Vedic system. That is the start, because we accept authority, how we should enjoy. And then above that is give up the goal being enjoyment, give up the karmakanda mentality, and at least, even though one may be passionate and has the desire to enjoy, understand that material enjoyment is not the goal. But Krishna consciousness is the goal. And when the goal is set as Vishnu, or the transcendental objective is set, then it is called yoga, karma yoga. So even though one is attached, just like when we preach, we go out, and in India they make life members, and there are so many people. Previously, we would tell everyone to move into the temple. But now, the preaching is more you stay at home, and whatever you're doing, you work, you give the fruit of your work to Krishna. So everyone is naturally attached to the fruit of their work. But by preaching, by good association, by chanting Hare Krishna, by taking prasadam, by seeing the deities, by studying the books, then people gradually become detached. And even though they're attached to their family, they're attached to their job and everything, and they're attached to all the wealth that they have, they start giving to Krishna. So they have material desires, but the goal is Krishna. They know that that's not the end of life. Just knowing doesn't mean that the desire, just knowing that it's not perfect, that knowing that you should love Krishna completely doesn't automatically make you love Krishna completely. You have to become purified. You have to get Krishna's mercy. So still, that is sakam, with material desires, karma yoga. And as Prabhupada wrote to Jayananda, if you died and you had some material desires, because he had just died, he wrote a letter to Jayananda's soul. If you had some material desires when you died, you have gone to the heavenly planets. Now you can enjoy tremendously. If you have material desires, all your desires will be satisfied. Sakam Karma Yoga. So that was what was described in the last chapter. So one is working because one has material desires, but one is giving the fruit of that work slowly, gradually. Due to his increase in knowledge, he's giving the fruit of his work to Krishna. Now the next section, which is a fairly long section, we'll see how much we get through. In 17. So, up to 16, Krishna has described what the mentality of one who has material desire should be. You should give to Krishna. Don't just take for yourself, but sacrifice for Krishna too. But then the question comes, what happens if you don't have material desires? If you already have knowledge, should you still work? This is the jnana platform. This is the beginning of some discussion of the jnana platform. So Krishna says, Yas tvat maratir eva syad. The one who takes pleasure in the self, certainly, he's self-illuminated. Such a man, he's illuminated himself, perfectly satiated. He does not have any duty. The translation, but for one who takes pleasure in the self, whose human life is one of self-realization, and who is satisfied in the self only, fully satiated, for him there is no duty. Why? He doesn't have to perform any of the Vedic rites because he has no desires to fulfill. So on one level, there's the person who has desires and does his duty, even though he knows that Krishna is the goal. And above that level is the person who has no material desires. And why doesn't he have material desires? Because his consciousness is focused on who he really is. And because he is focused on himself as a spirit soul, which is non-material, he has no material desires. He's illumined in the self. He's fully satisfied. He's satisfied being a soul. He's living in that realization. He's fully satiated, means complete. So for such a person, he has no reason to perform his duty. He does not try to get anything. Why does he need to work? Because we work when we want to get something and he's already satisfied, so he doesn't need to work. So this Atmarati, this type of person is called Atmarati, means that he's actually taking pleasure in the self, not in matter, and he has nothing to gain from doing his duties, he has nothing to lose if he does his duties, he's not disturbed by any obstacles. He's situated in the self. For him, there's no duty. So this is a person on the high platform, not the mode of passion at all, but situated fully in transcendental knowledge, in the mode of goodness, sattvam, sanjayate, jhanam, because from the mode of goodness, knowledge comes. Text 18. A self-realized person has no purpose to fulfill in the discharge of his prescribed duties. Nor has he any reason not to perform such work, because practically he's not in the material world. Practically, or almost. Nor has he any need to depend on any other living being. Therefore, now here's what Krishna is going to tell. Here's the instruction for the person on that platform. Because if Arjuna is on the platform where he has material desires, therefore he should work and do his duty. And now Krishna is going to tell, if someone is on this above platform, higher platform, that still he should do his duty and fight if he's a Kshatriya like Arjuna. Therefore, without being attached to the fruits of activities, one should act as a matter of duty. For by working without attachment, one attains the supreme. Karma samachara, if one performs his work, ashakto
yacharan karma, he performs his karma unattached, then paramapnoti purusha, a man achieves the supreme. So his renunciation, this explanation is the explanation of nishkam karma yoga, or working without attachment. The result of working without attachment is one will attain the supreme. Now, has anyone ever done that? Worked without attachment like that? Krishna will give an example. This is called sadhu praman. There are different types of proof about something. There is pratyaksha, just what we see. There is anuman, inference, shabda praman. And here is sadhu praman. This is what a sadhu named the king of Mithila. He works. Janaka were the names of a series of kings of Mithila. Kings such as Janaka, here's the example that follows this statement in the last verse. Kings such as Janaka attained perfection solely by performance of prescribed duties. Therefore, just for the sake of educating the people in general, you should perform your work. There's no reason to work, because you don't need anything. There's no reason not to work, because you're not your body, you're a soul. So it's not you who's really working, it's the body who's working. So there's no reason to not work, there's no reason to work. So why work? To set an example for others. Yad yad, very famous verse, and will be on the next test. Yad yad acharati lokastadanavarchate. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standards he sets by his exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So much rests on what the leaders, the great people of society do. Because everyone tends to follow their example. If the leaders wear glasses like this, then everyone else will tend to wear glasses like this. If the leaders start wearing one type of kurta, everyone starts wearing that one type of kurta. If the leaders wear a particular type of hat, everyone starts wearing that kind of hat. This is the nature of human society. It's follow the leader. So therefore, kings like Janaka, there's one story about Janaka that I know, that there was one, I don't remember which sage, but one sage was in the kingdom and he was reciting Bhagavatam. And there were many brahmachari or other sadhus came to hear also. And he would recite daily, and Janaka would come and all the sadhus would come. And this one big rishi, he was very much eager to speak to Janaka. Janaka was giving him a nice place to stay and taking care of him very nicely because he respected the sadhus. So one day, Janaka had some business in the court. And the big rishi, was about to start his Bhagavatam reading. And then he got the message. All the other sadhus were waiting there. And he got the message. Janaka sent a messenger saying, "I can't come right now because there's urgent business in court. I can't come immediately, but I'll come as soon as I can." And the rishi said, "Let's wait for him." So all the sadhus, they started thinking, just see how the rishi has been placed under the control of the king. Kings are so expert by giving facility, by giving some wealth, giving some prasadam, then even the great rishis get under their control, and the rishi wants to please the king, so he's just waiting for him. So they were all thinking like that. And they were also, because they were hearing Bhagavatam too, they were staying in the king's very simple villagey apartments just outside. So finally, the king came. Janaka came, and he was hearing the Bhagavatam.
And no one disclosed their mind to the Rishi, because that was very insulting, actually. So then, all of a sudden, another messenger comes running in and says, "Sire, sire, Janaka Maharaj, some terrible news. Your treasury is on fire and it's burning. Immediately, it's burning down." So Janaka said, "Immediately you go tell my minister to do this, and you tell my minister to do that, and do this, and this, and this, and this." "You're coming, sire?" "No, I'm staying for Bhagavatam." So he sent the messenger off, and you know, gave the ministers their work, and everything was settled. And meanwhile, Janaka just sat, and he heard the Bhagavatam. Then just after that, another messenger came in and said to the sadhus, "Your house is burning down. And all your kopins, and all your bag is going to be burned." And they immediately went running out to save their possessions. So and then they came back, and the Rishi pointed out to them the difference in mentality, how much one wanted to hear the Bhagavatam, and the Janaka one, he put everything secondary. He did his duty properly, but he was so intent on hearing the Bhagavatam that he wouldn't leave the recital like that. So then they apologized and begged forgiveness for the Rishi. Because the reason the Rishi was so much waiting for Janaka to hear the Bhagavatam was because Janaka was so eager to hear the Bhagavatam. It wasn't due to the fact that he was the king. Because Rishis don't see people as kings or boys or men or women or this. They see souls. So when that soul is eager to hear, then the affection of the exalted personality, the Mahatma, flows towards them, just as rivers naturally flow to the ocean. So therefore Janaka, he was not an ordinary person. He was a king, and he was not an ordinary king. He was actually a great Mahatma. And how did he achieve perfection? Just by performance of his prescribed duty. So first one may perform one's prescribed duty in an attached way, but then by gradually one gets detachment, one moves from the mode of passion to the mode of goodness, and then one is completely detached, and then one attains the supreme by working in a detached fashion. Therefore, one should perform his work. And to keep humanity at large active, because inactivity is one of the worst things. Therefore, Prabhupada said one of the prime, or actually the prime duty of the Kshatriya, the monarch, is to make sure that everyone is engaged properly. There should never be any unemployment, because the idle mind is the devil's workshop. And as soon as one isn't active, then one's mind starts plotting and scheming to do horrible things. So therefore, by setting the right example, one is doing very, very big preaching. So therefore, yad yad acharati shreshtas tad tad eve tirov janaha. Whatever a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standards he sets by his exemplary acts, all the world pursues. And then Krishna gives another very interesting example of setting the example. And Prabhupada also actually said this in regard to Guru Kula. He said that example is better than precept. Or as we commonly say in English, actions speak louder than words. So Krishna continues saying, "O son of Prita, there is no work prescribed for me within the three planetary systems." Because why? It's because Krishna owns everything, he controls everything, he creates everything, he destroys everything. There is no need for him to work whatsoever. There is no need, no purpose to his work. He's working, he's doing everything. He's the ultimate doer. He's doing everything indirectly. He has nothing to gain. So there is no work for him within the three planetary systems the upper, lower, and middle planetary systems. He has nothing to do there. Nor am I in want of anything. Lakshmi Sahasra Satasam Brahmasi Vyaman Om Govindam Hari Purusham Tamaham Vajami. Krishna is served by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. So what can he possibly be in want of? He has unlimited servants, unlimited servants. Every tree in Vrindavan is a desire tree. Whatever fruit one wants, the houses are composed of Chintamani gems. It is called Chintamani Dham. Everything is so opulent. It is full of Aishwarya, actually. But the Madhurya, the sweetness, covers that Aishwarya. But it is the most opulent of all places. There's one story that I heard that once the emperor of all of India, Akbar, not all of India, but especially North India, Emperor Akbar, he was the emperor at the same time when the six Goswamis were here in Vrindavan. So he was a very, not exactly non-sectarian, but he had a big vision. I don't remember the right word.
Liberal,
thank you. He was a very liberal person. So he decided that he would try to help the Goswamis and to renovate Vrindavan and make it beautiful, more beautiful. So he sent, he came to Sanatan Goswami, who was living very poor, like a poor beggar, practically speaking, and said, I have my kingdom and its wealth, and I wish to use it in the service of Vrindavan. And Sanatan Goswami and he said, oh, you want to make Vrindavan more beautiful? You go down by this ghat over here and you see how you can fix it up. So he went by one ghat, bathing ghat, by the Yamuna. And by the mercy of Sri Sanatana Goswami, he was given an actual vision of Vrindavan Dham. And he saw that the whole ghat or the side of the river was made out of the most valuable of diamonds. The whole ghat and side of the river was made out of the most valuable diamonds, just sparkling and beautiful. And he saw in one corner there was like a little crack. And he tried to imagine all the wealth of his kingdom. And he understood that all the wealth that he possessed or could possibly possess could not enter into this little crack and fix it in any way at all. So that is Vrindavan Dham, actually. So now we have a covered vision of Vrindavan. Our vision of Vrindavan is covered. But this is Vrindavan. It is Chintamani Dham. It is completely composed of Chit Shakti, Krishna's internal energy. So this is all coming, this is Krishna's energy. So what need could Krishna possibly have? Universes, from the expansion of his expansion of his expansion of his expansion, universes come from his skin holes. And he doesn't even bother. He doesn't have anything to do with the material world and the spiritual world. Millions, unlimited Lakshmis are serving him. Thousands and thousands. So does Krishna have any need to work? To get anything? Can he possibly want anything? Certainly not. So Krishna says, nor am I in want of anything, nor have I any need to obtain anything. Everything is already his. And yet, he says, yet I am engaged in prescribed duties. Varta, Eva, certainly, I am engaged, certainly. Cha, also, Karmani, I am also certainly engaged in prescribed duties. Not only Janaka is engaged in prescribed duties, even Krishna himself engages in prescribed duties. But that work should follow Shastra, and that is the best example. Still, Krishna says, I work, although I have nothing to gain by my work. Why? 23. For if I ever failed to engage in carefully performing prescribed duties, O Partha, certainly all men would follow my path. Purport. In order to keep the balance of social tranquility, for progress in spiritual life, there are traditional family usages meant for every civilized man. Although such rules and regulations are for the conditioned souls and not Lord Krishna, because he descended to establish the principles of religion, he followed the prescribed rules. Otherwise, common men would follow in his footsteps, because he is the greatest authority. From the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is understood that Lord Krishna was performing all the religious duties at home and out of home, as required of a householder. If I did not perform prescribed duties, all these worlds would be put to ruination. I would be the cause of creating unwanted population. What is the word for unwanted population? Vanasankara. And this completely defeats Arjuna's argument that he gave in the first two chapters, that if I fight, I will be the cause of creating Vanasankara. But Krishna says, if you don't do your duty, you will be setting a bad example, and you will be the cause of Vanasankara in that way. Because people must work. And therefore, I would be the cause of creating unwanted population, and I would thereby destroy the peace of all living entities. And actually, that's what happens when there are Vanasankara people in this world. They destroy everyone's peace and sanity. Because of their insanity, they make this world hellish. A hellish place, as Prabhupada said, it is not a place for a gentleman. And a lot of that reason is because of Vanasankara, and it becomes more and more like that. Vanasankara means whimsical. That they don't follow Shastra, they do just whatever they want, anytime they want, because they feel like it. Vanasankara. Whimsical. So, we'll discuss this point a little later also as we continue. Are there any questions up to this point? Yes, Mahabharata.
Concerning prescribed duties, he said that Vaishnava is beyond all this divisions of social order of life, and he doesn't have to fall into private duties. He is above all these private duties.
So there's two ways to look at it. One is still a Vaishnava has the prescribed duties of being a Vaishnava, the Vaidhi. There are 64 items of Vaidhi Bhakti mentioned in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Nectar of Devotion. So one may think, oh, I'm very advanced, I don't need to follow these anymore. But that's actually not the philosophy. And even if one is so advanced that he doesn't need the Vaidhi, still he should follow to set a good example. So looking at it from that point of view, the Vaishnava point of view, the prescribed duties can refer to the orders given by the spiritual master for bhakti. But also, practically speaking, vanashrama prescribed duties don't exist for anyone anymore. And it's not possible to strictly follow the vanashrama duties anymore. But still, we can interpret it loosely, that if one is a householder, there are certain prescribed duties for householder in every culture, and for a brahmachari, a student, an unmarried student, he should follow certain prescribed duties. So of course, and one who's a sannyasi, one should follow certain prescribed duties very strictly. So one can say, Naham vipro na cha narapati na pivaisho na sudro, that I am not a vaisha, I am not a sudra, I am not a sannyasi, I am not this, I am not that. I am a spirit soul, I'm Krishna's servant. But as long as one is in the material world, one can't act externally on that level, directly enacting in Krishna Leela as Krishna's servant, but rather that the external manifestation will be that he follows and engages in the preaching movement, because that's also Krishna's service. So, although a Vaishnava is beyond Vanashrama, and Prabhupada also answered that when Prabhupada was asked, said that he wanted to establish Vanashrama, one of the devotees said, I thought Vaishnavas were beyond Vanashrama, and Prabhupada said, if they are Vaishnava, why are they falling down? Meaning that we're not actually Vaishnavas at this point, beyond all rules and regulations. We're actually just aspiring to become Vaishnavas. Vaishnava is situated on the pure platform, Sudha-Sattva platform. He is beyond having any connection with his body. He's situated in the internal energy of the Lord. That is the meaning of Vaishnava, actually. So we're aspiring to become Vaishnavas at this point. We are devotees by the mercy of Guru only. This is how a devotee thinks of himself. And therefore he follows strictly the rules and regulations according to his situation in life. Is that enough?
So according to your viewpoint, is it necessary to establish Varnakti?
Well, Prabhupada said he wanted it, but it should. I mean, this no one's been able to do it yet, but Prabhupada gave the real clue. He said, I will establish Vanashrama. I'm going to the west, to Gita Nagari, actually, he was going at that time. This was in 1977 when he left Vrindavan. I'm going to Gita Nagari to establish Vanashrama. I will teach him how to live off the land. So, Vanashrama means agrarian-based society, etc. Another time, though, I just heard this recently, that Prabhupada told Hari Krishna, Vanashrama means that if you're a lawyer, you learn how to be a lawyer for Krishna. If you're a doctor, you learn how to be a doctor for Krishna. So either way you take it, you're either talking about a congregation, or a self-sufficient form community, and both are necessary. But Vanashrama should never be taken as an excuse to be independent. That is the fault I've heard householders say. What we need is Vanashrama, and what they mean to say is that I have to be financially independent and I don't have to listen to the temple president anymore. That's what they mean by Vanashrama. So that is nonsense. Anyone can do that. I mean, there's billions of people doing that, but what does it have to do with Krishna consciousness? Another way to look at Vanashrama is that people are engaged according to their tendency, natural tendency, in Krishna's service. So that's the basic meaning. That's the basic meaning, that people should be engaged according to their tendency. But what happens if their tendency is to be in Maya? That's the problem. So it's better to not be engaged according to that tendency, and then it's a surrender.
In this last verse 24, is Krishna referring to the disgraced of the householders, since he says that it will be the incarnation of the world and it will create harmonious population? How is this connected? Is it because he's speaking about the...
I'll explain that later in Where will I like to explain that? Probably in 26. I'll explain the meaning of 20, that aspect of 24. When we talk in 26. How does inactivity basically lead to vana sankara? Is either hands moving the flies or asking questions? I'm not sure. Anyone have a question? Yes. So
what exactly are you getting stuck in the Buddhist prescribed duties, and he's also getting knowledge? Most spiritual teachers give some like sadhana or some practice that's not just to work, but like games or meditation or something. I'm just wondering, besides just doing his kryptonite supporters, is there some sadhana or practice?
What is the purpose of the sadhana? What does Krishna consciousness mean in that sense? Okay. But the purpose, sava vidhi nisheda cha iti or eva kinkara. That means that all the rules and regulations, all the vidhi, you do this, and the nisheda, you can't do this, they're all kinkara, servants to the one rule and regulation. All sadhana, vidhi and nisheda are all serving one rule and regulation. Smartavya satatam Vishnu vishmartavya najatuchit. That you should always remember Krishna and never forget him. So Krishna says, and he'll say that at the, he'll say it a few times, he'll say, manmana bhava matbhakto. He'll say, chaitasasava kamani maya sanyasvi matpara buddhi yoga mupashita machita satatam bhava. You should do your work. And mam anusmara yudhyacha. You work, but always remember me. For all activities and the results, just remember me, focus your consciousness on me, become my devotee, always think about me. Thinking about Krishna is the essence. This is what we want to be doing. We want to do our work in such a way, our sadhana in such a way, that we always remember Krishna. Mam anusmara yudhyacha. You remember me and fight. Not just fight. And not just remember me. Go out into the woods. Mam anusmara yudhyacha. This is actually what we're supposed to be doing. Therefore, preaching is so nice. And the book distribution is so nice. Because it can engage unlimited people in work. That not only Prabhupada was very practical, not only will support the temple financially, but in such a way that you'll always remember Krishna, because you have a book, a Bhagavad Gita, please take this book, it's about Krishna. So nice. You learn all about Krishna, you learn how to perform your duties properly, you go back to Godhead, talking about Krishna, thinking about Krishna all day long. This is also explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada has a nice purport that explains this about life membership too. Why you have to preach to someone, make life members, preach to them about the Krishna consciousness movement. Preach, 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 and in that way you always remember Krishna. So it's the best thing for you, it's the best thing for others. It is glorious sadhana. So that is the main element of all sadhana. Sava vidhi nisheda cha etya eva kinkara. All the other rules and regulations are just servant to that one main rule and regulation, to always remember Krishna and never forget him. This will be explained in your Nectar Devotion class. Good question. Any other questions? Vaishnava Prabhu? Okay, then we'll end here.